Morning, brothers and sisters. When I started this exhortation, I was determined to do something about God. And several things happened and I started. When I finished the exhortation, I got a lot of joy out of it, so I hope you guys get out as much as I got. As I said, my exhortation is about our God, our Father in the Bible. And I'll be using a lot of quotes in the Bible, as this is his book, obviously. And God is our architect. He's the designer of all things. Living creatures, innate things, from the large sun to the smallest insect. God hung the stars in space and painted all the wings of the butterflies. God made the highest mountains, the deepest, darkest parts of the sea, the trenches, the plateaus. Everything we know and everything we don't know, God did create. We all know the first book of the Bible is Genesis. It starts off with the creation. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And this great statement is made time and time again in the Bible. I'm going to show you some. I've got about five or six quotes. But when I looked them up, there was hundreds of quotes about God and his creation. They're all mentioned together. And I was surprised. And don't we say that in some chapters if a verse is recorded twice, we say, that verse must be very important. Well, so then is this fact that God is the creator of the universe. It must be really, really important because it mentions so many times. First quote I've got is in Nehemiah chapter 9. The children of Israel were confessing their sins, and Ezra Levi stood on the stairs and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. And one Pethahiah said in verse 5, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is therein. And you preserve or sustain them, and the hosts of heaven worship you." And of course, the Psalms are full of them. We read one this morning. Psalms 102, verse 25. "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Psalms 104, verse 5. "God, who laid the foundations of the earth, so it should not be moved forever. He covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains." And so on. You might like to meditate for a moment as I read this next one, as it speaks about our wonderful Father and his glorious and great character. It's in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 21. And it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is God who sits above the surface of the earth, and his inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spread them out like a tent to dwell in. God brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When God will also blow on them, they will wither away, the whirlwind will take them away like stubble." 25, verse 25. "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who has created these things? Who brings out their host by number? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. God calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. And not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Important, isn't it? Repeat it again. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the weak. That's us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And to those who have no might, he increases strength. That's us too, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. But, here it is, the word but, for those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They, you and I, we shall mount up with wings like eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. How great that will be, we just cannot imagine. But it will surely be wonderful. So back to reality then. The next quote we'll go on is in the New Testament. It's in Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. We'll go to verse 14 for background. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out. Verse 15 saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you shall turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. And then again, Paul in the Acts 3, chapters later, chapter 17, verse 24, he's speaking to the men at Athens, we all know this. He found an altar with an inscription, the unknown God. So Paul says to them, verse 23, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing him, I will proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needs anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So. The last quote I'm going to use for this particular session is, of course, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 14. It was one of the angels who was making a statement. In verse 16 of chapter 14, Revelation, it says, then I saw an angel flying in the middle of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. Now have you noticed, every time they started to preach to anyone, what was the first thing they mentioned? They say that God is the creator of this world and everything on it, in it and around it. We often talk about the creation. And just last week at the seminar, John, you might remember, and David and I were, the David from the seminar, were talking about the creation. We had a discussion about whether it was 24 hours and the 7 days in the creation. So it is, we often wonder how God did create our world. Well, Hebrews gives us a first clue, Hebrews 11 verse 3. Says there, by faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. And the text stops there, it doesn't go into any detail saying exactly how God created the world, it just says God made invisible things become visible. It may be a supposition, or as Brother Leo would say, a hypothesis. It may be a scientific truth that a rearrangement of atoms can alter the elements of matter. How long did it take God to perform each miracle? Well, it took me to ask that question. Psalm 33 and verse 3 says, the heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. God gathers the waters of the sea in a heap. God puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth tremble before the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For God spoke, and it came into being. God commanded, and it came into existence. Another psalm, Psalm 148, verse 4 and 5. But you really need to start from verse 1 for the connection purposes. It says, Alleluia, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise God all his angels, praise him all his hosts, praise God, sun and moon, praise him all you shining stars, praise God, highest heaven and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded, and they were created. God is only to speak, and the atoms conform to his will. How's that for awesome power? That's why the theory of evolution is so wrong. It denies the power of how great God is. Time does not exist with God. It's a mortal thing attached to the earth. And no more. When God chose to create our world in 6 days, it was his choice. He could have done it in a moment. But did God have a good reason for doing it in 7 days? Why didn't he do it in 3 or 4 days? And then let's have a brief look at the creation in Genesis chapter 1 and see. On the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's Genesis 1 to 5. That was the beginning of the evening, morning. And God called the light day, he called the darkness night, evening came, and then morning. And so that was day one. Notice night first and then the day. Is that why the Jewish calendar has night first and the day? I don't know. Verse 6. Verse 8. Then God said, let there be an expanse. I'm cutting this a bit short, so if you're reading it, I'm missing out bits. Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water. And God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, and that was day 2. Verses 9 to 13. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and the water seas. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, then morning, and that was day 3. Verses 14 to 19. Then God said, let there be lights in the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for festivals and for days and years. So we get the sun, moon and the stars. And God saw it was good. Evening came then morning. That was day four. Verses 20 to 23. Then God said, let the sea swarm with small and big living creatures, and let birds fly in the skies. And God saw it was good. He came in the morning, and that was day five. Verse 24 to the end. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth. And it was so, and God saw that it was good. And now, having created a beautiful place, in verse 26, God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish, the birds, the livestock, all the creatures that crawl on the earth. God blessed the earth. And then verse 31, God saw all that he had made, male and female, and it was very good. Evening came, and then morning, so ended day six. So this was the whole purpose of the creation. Isaiah 45 tells us in verse 18, for this is what the Lord says. God is the creator of the heavens. He formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. This is the glory of God, brothers and sisters. So now the inhabitants of the earth have arrived, beautifully made, equipped to multiply, to fill the earth with the glory of God, fresh from the hands of God. They, Adam and Eve, were so wonderful. Psalm 8, verse 5, you made him, that's man, a little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honour. Verse 6, you made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. So men and women with their God given power to see, to hear, smell, feel or have sense, to think, to decide, choose, to remember, to understand, and to love, have emotions. They were the one out of all his whole creation, they were the one closest to God. They were his sons and daughters, and so very dear to him. With this in mind, look at what David says in the Psalms 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God, it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures all generations. And it's us in this generation. We owe God everything. We own nothing on this earth. It's all given to us for a time. The question arises, why did God take 6 days to create the world? He could have done it in a matter of seconds, couldn't he? Well, the Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 11, for the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. So the seventh day was set apart by God, not because he needed to rest or anything. It was for man's sake. Each Sabbath, as it was called then, was there so that man could have a day of physical rest and spiritual refreshment. It was a day devoted to thinking about him, God, free from life's regular duties. They were to walk and talk with God in the garden. So God had set this up to be a time for all mankind to come at least once a week to remember him and how we owe him our very life. It was a wonderful plan to keep man ever linked with their creator. And so it is at this day we are following in that arrangement which God set us up at the creation. The Psalms tells us what we should do. Psalms 95 verse 1. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his, he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. And this is what we, as his sons and daughters, have come to do this day, isn't it, brothers and sisters? To give God the glory, to honour his name, to praise him for all the blessings he every day bestows on us, the gift of life today. And when Christ returns, the mercy and grace of a place in his glorious kingdom to come. Hallelujah. Amen.